God and for thee again in this afternoon hour before thy precious and living word. As we have sung, we pray that thou would reveal through thy word all the things that thou would teach us of thyself, that we may understand who thou art and love thee with all of our hearts, Lord, and trust thee, for thou art capable, thou art all-powerful, and thou art faithful. It is to thee that we turn and ask thy blessing for thy Spirit's presence among us as we open thy word. Stir our hearts to motion and our faith and love to growth in honor and service in thy kingdom. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. If he abideth in him, ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment write I unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness, even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. I'd like to conclude with verse number 17. God, to receive from our Heavenly Father the wisdom that's been penned and recorded for us to glean from, and it has light and direction for our lives, and that is, I believe, our desire, that we would be directed by the Lord, be guided by him, receive something to help our faith and grow. And also even for those who come and attend and listen to the word, you also have a desire. And the word is shining to you today. It is pointing the way. It is giving you the clear instruction that you need on your path. And it is our prayer, one and all, that we would all embrace the word. We have two topics that are before us, the commandments of God and the audience of the recipients of this letter to John. This is what the word has for us today, the commands of God and who is receiving it. And we put ourselves into that passage. We have the commands of God and we have ourselves, whether we are children, fathers, or those who are young. There is a word and an application of the commandments of God for our lives. So it would benefit ourselves. We would be putting ourselves for the best chance of success if we listen and pay attention, if we heed the word of God and the commandments that are given. John says that he's not writing anything new in verse 7. And then again, he says, a new commandment he's writing. So which one is it? Well, look at the commands. What do they say? What do they say to you as you look down at your Bibles and as you read verse 6 and 9, 10, 11, and 12? We read that we are to walk even as he walked, speaking of Jesus Christ, speaking of our Lord. And we are to love our brethren. These are not new commandments. These are commands that God had instilled in the children of Israel from way back when the law was first given, that the children of Israel would follow in the ways of God, that they would learn the ways of God and be obedient. It's not a new commandment. And to love one another, Jesus said that all of the law and the prophets hung on the commandment to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our soul, our mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself. So it's not a new commandment. It's an old commandment. But it can be renewed. It can be enlivened within our hearts when we see what Apostle John is saying about the importance of these commandments and how much they mean. We want to know how we are doing in this walk of faith, don't we? We want to know how we're making progress, or if we're standing still, or backsliding. And the way that John writes these commands amplifies or emboldens the meaning of these commands and how they can be used as indicators to help us understand, how am I doing? Am I in the light? Am I following the Lord? And he uses in both cases this contrast, what we say about ourselves and what the reality is. And so the saying is this, in both verse 6 and verse 9, he that saith he abideth in him, or in verse 9, he that saith he is in the light, which John wrote that God is light. If we say that we're abiding in him, what are the expectations? What is the fruit that accompanies that profession of faith, or that profession of our standing with God, that we are abiding in him? Well, it's obedience to the commands, to walk even as Jesus Christ walked, his manner of life, and to follow his teachings. There's going to be so many themes that come from John's writing here in the epistle that were mentioned this morning, because John takes the important things of life from Jesus' teachings. He doesn't add or take anything away, but he delivers them to us in a powerful message. If someone says that they are abiding in the Lord, shouldn't they also walk in his steps? There's a closeness that must be there between the follower and the leader, between the servant and his master. And that's how we see ourselves in God's kingdom. We want to follow. We want to walk. And we can walk for many reasons. We can follow and do the commands out of all kinds of different motivations. One might be afraid of getting in trouble for not doing it. One might want to please his friends or his neighbors or his parents. But what we learn time and time again is that when God touches our hearts, when he explains the word to us, we don't need to have our arms twisted. We don't need to have pressure put upon us, because the Lord is inspiring our hearts that out of love, we want to be obedient. Out of love, we see that the things that Jesus did and the victory that he had is something that we also desire. And there can be no other path but through Jesus' steps. His steps as he put on the towel and washed the feet of his disciples. And he said, you're going to do this too. And he steps on his road to the cross. And we can identify with that. We know the pain of suffering. We know the pain of loss that we experience from time to time. And Jesus calls one and all and invites us. You know, you're suffering. You think it's difficult. He understands. He knows. And he wants to use that to bring us closer together so that we can walk as it were. He takes one step and our foot goes right in that footstep. Or that we would walk side by side as companions. Him guiding us. This is an old commandment. There's nothing new here. But when our hearts are like those two that were walking with Jesus on the road to Emmaus, and they realize how much the Lord has done for them, and we think about the blessings of God and his character, his truth, his faithfulness, and his mercy, our hearts also burn within us. And the old commandments, the things that are basic to the Christian walk and Christian teachings, things that you've heard in from Sunday school, they become precious, and they become something that we hold on to dearly, and they become new and fresh and enlivened because we know that there's beauty and truth that come from that. There are beautiful character traits that God develops in our hearts as we learn to serve one another that don't get developed just by reading, or just by theorizing or debate. But by practice, God trains us. He trains us and teaches us to walk. And happy is the man who trusts in the Lord. Happy is the man that leans unto the Lord and not to his own understanding. In all of his ways, he will acknowledge God, and God shall direct his paths. This is what we're talking about. The path of your life, your destination, your experiences, and how that applies, and what sort of wisdom you are going to use. There's application for the father. There's application for children. And there's application for young men that hear the word and want to take it seriously and want to avoid an eternity in hell because they know that there's a word that's eternal before them, and they need to listen. And they're happy, they're blessed when they do. The new commandment I write unto you. This is again alluding to the way that Jesus spoke when he commanded his disciples, a new commandment give I unto you, that you would love one another. He told even his disciples that the world will know that you are my disciples by the love that ye have one toward another. There are many identifying marks that people use as labels to help understand what something is. When you go to your basement to find a jar of something that your mom made in the summertime and preserved, and you see it's kind of red and it looks like strawberry jam, you open it up, you put it on your bread, and it's actually tomato sauce, you need a good label. Label is only as good as what the contents that it contains. You can put strawberry jam on the label, on the tomato sauce all you want. But what you say about yourself and what people profess about their faith is only as good as what's on the inside. Now, your moms fill up those jars and they fill them up with something very good. How about us? We profess our faith. We make a testimony to the world that we are God's children. Isn't it God that needs to fill our hearts with that good gift of his Holy Spirit so that we can be that genuine follower? And we come as empty vessels, and he fills us with the things that are good. He fills us with the wisdom that's from above. And as we come together to worship, we're aware of that. I know we are. Because we come and we pray, we sit down, and we ask the Lord for his blessing. And we truly believe that his Spirit works among us and is able to even use a few verses whenever we gather to feed us, to fill us, and to bless us so that we can be a blessing to others and that we can accurately portray the testimony of faith that we have. And we do that through following Jesus as he walked and loving one another. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Perhaps let's dwell on verse 10 first. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. To love as our Lord has loved us is a sacrificial love. It's a love that is free from selfishness and looking for what is going to be returned to me that would be of benefit to me. In that mindset, in that spirit, there's no cause for stumbling. In two ways. It's good for ourselves to be free from pride and selfishness and to love and serve whether somebody deserves it, whether they earned it, whether they're racking up the points or not. But it's also good for someone else. When we declare we are Christ's followers, and we love the way that he loved, we will not be a stumbling block to others. On the other side, if we make a profession of being Christ's followers, we can be a stumbling block when we do not follow Jesus Christ. So we're called to walk in that light by walking in love, by serving one another, even as Jesus did, to wash one another's feet, as it were. To take that example, when it's inconvenient for us to serve, when there was something that I wanted to enjoy and I give it up, those expressions of love guide us to walking in the light and teach us a little bit more of what Jesus did for us and how he loved his disciples and how he loves us. Truly, when we consider the love of God, his patience, and his mercy, we've received much. And Jesus said, those who have been loved much will love much. Those who see only a little bit or do not desire to peer in to the wonders, to see what is that height and breadth and length and depth of the love of God and knowledge of Christ Jesus. There will be less in return, for sure. Now, on the other side, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. This darkness has its effects. It darkens our path. It says he walks in darkness. He doesn't know where he's going because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Not only is it something that we experience, but it has effect on us. So often, a pursuit down a path of sin begins with a selfish motive that starts with, I'm going to enjoy this, and I'm going to take pleasure in this, and I'm going to get something out of it. But it doesn't take Satan long before we may be hooked and we may be stuck, and we may be serving the sin, and we thought we were so smart, it was going to be serving us. When we begin walking in darkness, this is the seriousness of the word. If we would forbear to express that love, we begin walking in darkness, and it will have its effect on us. And it will be very difficult to find our way back when the eyes are blinded. But we have the Word that shines like a bright light to guide us in the right way. And if we have a willing heart, if we believe what the Word says, and we take it to heart, say, regardless of what I have done and what I thought before and what I was going to get away with, I want to commit myself unto this and ask for the Lord for His help, His guidance, and surrender and turn and see those things as the things of the world that will pass away. God will help us, and He will guide us and help us to walk in His ways. Commands of the Lord. Old, perhaps, but can be renewed in importance as we remember them again, as we're reminded by the Word. Well, the next few verses speak to us of the audience of Apostle John's letter. I like that Apostle John, when he wrote his gospel, he said exactly why he was writing it. He said, "These things are written that ye might believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that believing in Him ye might have life through His name." Don't you like it when it explains exactly what the purpose and the goal of the message was? It spells it out very clearly. And so here again, we have Apostle John writing and engaging with his audience and those that will read, "I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake." Who will hear the command to walk in the steps of Jesus Christ? One who didn't have a home, who perhaps walked from city to city looking for a place to stay. Who will walk in His steps? And who will see that command as a joy but the children of God? Who will see a command to love our brethren and to do the things that make for peace and harmony and blessing and edification? Who will see that and say, "Oh, that's old-fashioned, those are basic things. What we need is something really slick and streamlined." No. The child of God will see these gentle commands as something beautiful and wholesome. And as we think about them and what they mean to us, and we ponder, how far would I take this command? What are my limits right now? How far would I take this to love my brother? We come up against something. And that's what God has done for us. Every single one of us was born into sin and walked on this earth blind and lost and straying. We turned our backs against God many times, some more than others. Some, it's perceived, worse than others. But Jesus came down to walk among us. And He asked us to walk with Him. The Lord asked us to love one another. And He has forgiven us for Christ's name's sake. So that's why John is writing to the little children, those who are children of God. You know what this means. You know how precious it is that Christ came to walk on this earth. Because without him, we would be lost and straying. You know what it is to receive the love of God that passes all of our understanding and comprehension, because he has forgiven our sins. And if we have been forgiven so much, Jesus tells us, ought not we to forgive one another, to express that love? John's writing this to you and me, not because we don't know these things, but we do. And he's reminding us and stirring our hearts and minds to think about what God has done for us and how he has already done these things that he's asking of us. He writes unto the fathers twice. He says that ye have known him that is from the beginning. Again, in verse 14, he says, because ye have known that him that is from the beginning. And the children, the second time, he says, because ye have known the Father. There is experience, there is understanding with God among those who have walked with him. And that experience and wisdom can be a great benefit, can be such a blessing to the younger ones coming up, not only in word, but also in example. And that's exactly what John is encouraging all believers, not only in word, but also in example. Fathers, show and demonstrate who you know God to be, that you take him seriously, that you love him with all of your heart, that you know the one that is from the beginning, the one that was from the beginning, the one that has no end, the one that we desire to see for eternity. Be a blessing. Take these commands and apply it to the role of one with experience, one that can share, one that can provide encouragement, guidance, and wisdom. See, the commands of God, they apply to every season of our lives, to children, to fathers. And lastly, we have young men. I leave it last because I like to dwell on this one. Because ye have overcome the wicked one. And then again, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Those of you who are young, you are strong. You have physical strength. You have perhaps some time to use in the service of others. You have energies and capacities. You have a will that you can use at your discretion, and you are learning that you are responsible for how you use it. You may have new responsibilities and blessings to take on, new privileges in your life. That's yours to possess and to do with as you see fit. The scripture teaches us, take heed, to consider carefully how you use your youth and your best days, because you'll have to give an answer for how you use them. Maybe I'll put a picture in your mind. Who owns all of the possessions in this world? Who owns the stars and all the resources that we have? They're God's, right? He owns them all. Not one of us owns them. We leave them here after we're gone. But he asks us to manage them, to be a steward of them while we're here. Now you own your time. You possess your soul. And you can choose to allow God to care for you and to surrender those things to the Lord. The commands that you've learned teach you as a young man and as a young woman, Give your best days to the Lord. Give every day to the Lord, for that matter. Give your strength, your energy, your zeal, your desire to serve, your abilities, your gifts, and your talents. Give them to the Lord. You are strong. Use the things that that you have. There's going to be a day when, you know, you think of a baby. They don't have the strength that you do, and they don't have the opportunities that you do. That's not to say that God can't use a little baby to melt our hearts and make us think of the love and compassion that we should have one toward another, does it? Not at all. Sometimes he uses that very effectively. Or an older person that might be frail in this physical frame, but they show by their resolve and their dedication what it means to be committed to the Lord, and they can serve with strength and vigor even in their old age. But that's what they have. And you have the physical strength. You have the days. Give them to the Lord. I want to share a few scriptures in conclusion about what the Word teaches us about strength. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, we think about strength and the physical strength that you have. There are limitations to that. And we need to do a good job taking care of the body that God has given us. And I know some of the guys like to work out. But what does the Word say? And what is our greatest hope for you? For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation. There is a time and a season when physical strength and the energies are that's the main concern in life. But there's also a time in life as you grow where godliness that has been practiced in the best years of your life, you look back and you realize God has been developing in me a character that helps me endure temptation. He's been teaching me that when I pay attention in church and when I read the Bible at home and when I listen to my parents, the Word of God is taking root in my heart and I'm able to overcome Satan through faith. That is what we hope for you. That godliness is profitable unto all things, not just a few years of your teenage and 20s, but for all things. There is much blessing that the fathers receive in knowing the one who's from the beginning. And actually, as you look over the scripture, knowing God and understanding who he is will impact how we believe and how we live, how seriously we take our commitment to the Lord. So Jeremiah has some words about strength. He says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth, if you are going to boast about anything, glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." The Lord delights in these things. And he saw them expressed in their fullness in Jesus Christ. And he said, "I am well pleased." We want to please our Heavenly Father and love the things that he loves. And knowing him, learning of his ways, reading the scripture, and allowing that to create an impression on our lives such that it forms our habits and our character and develops us is the kind of training that we desire. perhaps one or two more verses that come to mind in Joshua chapter 1. Read of a man that was chosen to lead God's people, who had quite a difficult act to follow. You know, every generation has its challenges and temptations. We are on the cusp of technology that nobody in the history of the world is able to prepare us for. How will we be ready? Well, Joshua couldn't have been prepared for what he experienced other than this, what the Lord spoke to him when he began to take on that mantle of Moses and lead the people. And he wanted Joshua to be strong. He saw that that was a good thing, to take strength, but not in his own physical abilities. He says, "Be strong," in Joshua chapter 1, verse 6, "Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto the fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." You have strength, my young friend. You have good days. Follow the word of the Lord. There is a prospering for your soul to be had. And without Jesus Christ, you don't have a hope in the world. But with him, and hearing and heeding his word and his gentle commands, may it be well with you that you would not turn to the right or the left, but follow in his ways and prosper in the love of God whithersoever thou goest. May God bless his word to our hearts. Amen.